No matter how much you try to stick to time, it's the members wanted to make sure that they get the best public protector. So they have to probe all candidates. And it is my duty as the chair to ensure that not a single member leaves this room feeling that they were deprived an opportunity to put questions to the next public protector. Having said that, I hope you do accept our apology. It's an ungodly hour to have an interview, but these things happen. And we hope that you will forgive us for that. Advocate, we sent you a letter, and in that letter, we requested you to prepare a 10-minute presentation. And though we gave some kind of guidelines about what sort of areas we may cover, but ultimately, it is you making your case to South Africans and to the members here. And I'm going to give you that opportunity, and your 10 minutes starts now.
Thank you, honorable members, and thank you, Dr. Khoza. I appreciate this. This has been a long time coming for this institution in terms of where we are taking this institution forward and where we are taking South Africa forward, where we are taking Southern Africa forward, where we are taking Africa forward. I am Kevin Sifiso Malunga. Currently Deputy Public Protector. I was born 42 years ago in Gwabulawayo, in what was then Rhodesia, the son of a liberation fighter. And I have had a very long history of agitating and fighting for justice. I have had a very long and multifaceted career in government, academia, and supporting the judiciary and the private sector. And of course, the requirements of a deputy PP, as you know, are the same as those of being a public protector. So if you are a deputy public protector, you must be able to be a public protector in terms of what the requirements are. And of course, I have a very solid understanding of all levels of state, which is a critical requirement of being a public protector. And I've acted as PP 30 times in the past almost 4 years. Now, what is my role as deputy public protector? What does this entail? Now, basically, you are the next level of authority at Public Protector South Africa. You provide strategic and administrative leadership to all branches of the institution nationally. You provide strategic leadership and direction of the Administrative Justice and Service Delivery Branch. You lead investigation teams in conducting investigations of all state organs. You chair alternative dispute resolution sessions between complainants and state organs. And of course, I've led investigation teams, some of the most demanding. And of course, I'm a pro-Africanist, quite naturally. I'm a pro-Africanist. I love this continent. I love what we're trying to achieve. And of course, just last week, we were approached by the AU Advisory Board on Corruption, who wanted to get our counsel as to how we are doing this as Public Protector South Africa. Now, what does the mandate of the public protector entail? You recall that the public protector is explicitly mentioned in the chapter 14 of the National Development Plan. We exercise complementary oversight with Parliament over the executive. And in terms of section 181, the public protector must investigate alleged impropriety in state affairs. The public protector is independent and subject only to the Constitution and the law. And the public protector must be impartial and exercise their functions without fear, favor, or prejudice. And in terms of section 182, we investigate, we report, and we take remedial action. And the courts have clarified that very clearly. The very wide terms in terms of the mandate of the public protector, it's not a nebulous concept. It's very clear in terms of what it requires. Maladministration and alternative dispute resolution in terms of the Public Protector Act. And then, of course, there's the enforcement of the executive ethics under what is known, what we call EMEA, the Executive Ethics and Members Ethics Act, and the Executive Ethics Code. And of course, there's an anti-corruption mandate as conferred by the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act. There's whistleblower protection under the Protected Disclosures Act. And of course, we investigate on our own initiative or upon receipt of a complaint any alleged abuse or unjustifiable exercise of power that results in improper prejudice to another person. I won't stay long on the issue of vision, mission, and organizational purpose. This particular presentation can be found and distributed to honorable members. Now, how do we operate as an institution? Now, the constitutional mandate of the public protector to investigate and report on improper conduct or improprieties in state affairs translates to a multi-pronged approach in handling complaints. And we seek to correct transgressions by organs of state. And of course, here we ask four questions. What happened? What should have happened? Is there a discrepancy that constitutes maladministration? And what is the remedy in question? And you see that there's a distinction between service failure and conduct failure. Conduct failure is what the public is more aware of in terms of our investigations. Bribery or fraud, favoritism, nepotism, and so forth, conflict of interest. Now, but by far the greater number is in service failure. Now, why do we need an effective public protector? Now, the jurisdiction of the public protector over all state organs places the public protector in a unique position to prevent and correct maladministration, abuse of power, etc. Now, obviously, the importance of a high-impact, highly accessible public protector will address service delivery challenges, conduct failure challenges, and economic and socio-political implications of maladministration and corruption. Now, you recall that litigation is out of the reach of most South Africans. It's financially prohibitive, and of course, we are also an anti-corruption agency. And the stats tell a story here in terms of why there is a need. In 2014-15, we finalized about 20,231 cases. In 2013, the load was over 37,000. And 39% of matters involve undue delay, 29% maladministration, and so forth, and so on. And this is what ordinary South Africans have to contend with. And tender and procurement irregularities, fraud and corruption are, I would say, one of South Africa's biggest threats in terms of its economy and its socioeconomic stability. Now, what do you need for a public protector? The ideal characteristics, personal integrity, and it's something that I am constantly thriving, and I believe I'm a person of integrity. I'm an eternal optimist. I believe that I will learn from my own mistakes and those of others. A constant renewal, institutionally and personally. Now, you've got to have a full understanding of how the state works. You must be comfortable in the public eye. You must be able to...
Excuse me, yes. Advocate. Yes. You have 2 more minutes to go. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You also have to be able to inspire public confidence. Now, you also have to have strong negotiation and mediation skills, human management skills, I'm fluent in terms of effective communication skills. I mean, fluent in about 5 South African official languages spoken and written: Zulu, Ndebele, Swati, and Xhosa, and Sotho and Tswana. You've got to have a strong grassroots appeal working with ordinary people. There's a fit and proper requirement. The courts have clarified what it means to be a fit and proper person. And I'm a duly advocate, duly admitted as an advocate of the High Court of South Africa, and have no impediment to practicing as such. And of course, a citizen of the Republic of South Africa. Now, there are obviously, this is not an office job. I put up some pictures there. I won't have to have time to talk about them. But you get out there. You know, there's a picture there, up there, with the informal community of Kennedy Road, in the middle of a service delivery protest, in the middle of a burnt-out school in Kopela Village, there in the middle of the community of Esgodlweni in Eastern Cape, at the bottom there with an old-age pensioner at the city of Johannesburg who had a complaint, giving back to a house to a pensioner in Hammarskraal. Those are the things that we do. And what will I do differently if this is given to me? In addition to the corrective interventions of the PP, we will also prevent bad governance practices. We will also, I intend to have a good governance manual within a year of taking office, which will ensure that we also insist that state organs make sure that they don't make the mistakes. In other words, ahead of time. We increase collaboration and referrals with other institutions supporting democracy. I actually am leading a project with what is known as the FISD, where we are going to have a united system, a data sharing system, a case referral system, and so forth. Of course, the other issue is obviously our insist on saving money. In other words, we've been criticized for not optimizing our resources. In other words, not using our resources optimally in a manner that is, and of course, our professionalize the training of investigators and so forth and so on. Case management is one of the challenges that the institution faces, and we really need to get that right. So I stand for continuity. Stability, institutional memory. I've done this for almost 4 years as Deputy Public Protector, and of course, my allegiance is to this document here, this constitution, nothing else. This is what I will answer to, and this is what I've been doing. And of course, we will ensure that there is a smooth transition, that staff morale is maintained or enhanced, because the essence of being a public protector is about...
Honorable Malunga,
okay.
Advocate Malunga.
Thank you.
Your 10 minutes actually is over.
Thank you.
But I am going to give you 60 seconds on a point of privilege just to complete your presentation.
Thank you, Chair. That is very gracious of you. I'm saying that I'm a continuity candidate. There's institutional memory. The public protector has never been what it is today. And partly it's because of the ability to galvanize and energize that team. And once that goes, honorable members, I can assure you it will not be the same. So I'm asking you that you give me an opportunity to take this institution forward, and we'll take it from there.
Thank you very much, Advocate Malunga. Last time, members, remind me, did I start from the right or from the left? From which side am I starting now? From this side now, that way. Okay, members, at least we are together. Okay. Honorable Motapa, Honorable Bongo, Honorable Breitenbach, Honorable Tseke, Honorable Van Dam, Honorable Masondo, is your hand up? Then I'm done. Okay. You have your hand up? No. Oh, then I have Honorable Maisela. In that order, members. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good evening, Advocate Malunga.
Good evening, Honorable Mutapo.
How are you?
Oh, ngiyaphila, ma'am.
No, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Advocate Malunga, on page 10 of the questionnaire, 3.4, do you have it?
No, I don't have it, but I do remember.
Okay.
You can go through it, yeah.
Yes. There is a question relating to your previous place of employment.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Yes, but what you have written here, you marked yes, but the facts here differ from what appears in Business Day that you were dismissed based on something related to a probationary period.
Oh,
so
okay.
The position of a public protector require honesty and reliability. So by not fully disclosing these facts, are you not trying to disadvantage yourself so that as a committee we don't take you as very, very reliable and honest?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
You're done. Honorable Pongo.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you, Pongo.
I have a few questions that I just want you to generally to make comments. And I must say this, that some of these questions arises from the public comments and from other stakeholders that we might have interacted with. I think the first one is at a general level. I want you to share with us your understanding of the independence of the public protector. I'm asking this question because it is expected to act without fear, favor, or prejudice. And we have had views as members of parliament and so on about binding nature in the past and so on, and but we have never seen your real position when I said deputy. You were just lukewarm about your position in terms of where the office is going. Secondly, the questionnaire that we're given, section number 3.1, it requires that you provide the committee with any circumstances that you may have. They may be financial or otherwise. I see you have a business interest in Mbube, a company called Mbube. I want you to share with the committee your relations with respect to that. There's a general complaint about your movements. Born in Zimbabwe, studied in Swaziland, and studied in the KZN, and later studied in some university in London. I think I want you to share with the committee around that. And the under 3.1 again, there's a matter that was raised about you. It's a matter which was withdrawn in the court, but you were charged with driving under the influence of alcohol. And that was in 2012. I see it was subsequently withdrawn, but it is not a matter that you disclosed to the committee. And you know very, very well yourself, as a matter of fact, that the Public Protectors Act requires that the person who must take the office must be fit and proper. That will include, among others, being honest, disclosing all material facts, and so on. I think, Chair, I'll stop there for now.
Yes, Honorable Glenys Breitenbach, Advocate Breitenbach.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Malunga. Good evening.
Good evening, Honorable Breitenbach.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good. I have a couple of questions. The first one is the circumstances under which you left WITS.
Yes.
You chose not to disclose that. I'd like you to explain why, and why you thought that you shouldn't disclose it in the interests of full disclosure. latching on to the Honourable Bongo's question about fit and proper. Okay. Then I see that you've been busy with your doctorate for some time. It sounds very impressive on paper. Candidate for a Doctor of Juridical Science from the University of Wisconsin, the Madison Law School, USA, but that's been quite some time now, and it doesn't seem to be much closer to completion. If you could just update me on that.
Okay.
And why it's taking so long.
Okay.
A bright young man like yourself. And then, finally, you made some rather contentious comments about a particular opposition party's dashing to the courts. Why else would that shows the weak state of opposition politics in South Africa. I take it that was before the 3rd of August. Why else would
that was
constantly abuse
2008 or so.
Yeah. Why else would they constantly abuse what is a critical branch of the government to settle political scores? I'd like to know if you still hold that view, and whether you held that view when we dashed to the Constitutional Court on the Nkandla issue. Okay, so if you could clear that up for me, please. And then finally, in your motivational section of the questionnaire, you seem to be suggesting that that the public protector is not the pin around which the office of the public protector revolves. And you seem to be a little miffed that that she got more attention perhaps than other people. And if that's not so, then you must explain that paragraph to me, where you have in capital letters, we have been able to create one of the most trusted, credible public protector is not the not in capital letters the product of one person. So explain to me what you meant by your emphasis. And you seem to suggest that only you can be the next public protector to ensure continuity. Now clearly if you remain as the deputy public protector, then you'll be there to ensure continuity. Or are you suggesting that you wouldn't support a new appointment?
Okay,
thank you.
I think
Honorable.
It was me.
Yes.
Honorable
Second. Van Damme. No.
Is it not Second?
Oh, is it Second or Van Damme?
Second.
Oh, Honorable.
I think it's me. Oh, thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon, Advocate Malunga.
Good evening.
There's a complaint filed against you that needs urgent intervention by the South African Roadies Association in respect of Section 3, Subsection 13 of the Constitution. Can you comment on the matter? Hence, we are taking the inputs of the civil society into consideration. We've got a documents that proves that. And the other issue, Chair, it's during your tenure as the DPP, and there are a lot of offices that have been closed, the regional offices that have been closed, and I regard those offices as being closer to our communities, especially the rural communities. And I understand that you had a lot of financial constraints in the public protector's office, but my view is that those people, the rural poor, the disadvantaged, cannot be able to access your services because they have to, you know, drive. Others are not having cars, but they have to report these cases far away from their areas where they're staying. I'll just want to give an example. There was a regional office in Siyabuswa in Mpumalanga, and that office was closed down. And imagine a person staying in Kajibane, which is plus minus 400 kilometers away from your provincial office in Nelspruit. How would you respond to that matter, Advocate Malunga? The other question is relates to the if you are appointed actually as the public protector, how would you respond to a complaint and a financial impropriety, an allegation actually of financial impropriety against the public office bearer of the national legislative arm? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Fanda.
Thanks, Chair. Good evening, Advocate Malunga.
Good evening.
In 2012, May 2012 to October 2012, you worked as an advisor for the then Minister of Justice, Jeff Radebe. And one of your tasks was the Traditional Courts Bill. You also drafted legislation, wrote speeches for the minister, formulated policy. How involved were you with the drafting of the Traditional Courts Bill? Chair, can you please indulge me? Can I ask that he responds? And then I have a follow-up.
You want me to respond on that question?
Whether he was involved in the drafting of the Traditional Courts Bill, yeah.
Were you involved in the drafting of the Traditional?
We were trying to present it to this House, actually. So
the question is, were you involved?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Right, okay. So if I remember quite clearly in 2012, that bill was then tabled in the NCOP. And it was a bill that was hugely at odds with the Constitution. How do you think we can trust you to be the public protector if you will oversee the presentation of legislation in Parliament that is at odds with the Constitution? But as a public protector, you're required to, as part of your duties, to protect the Constitution. So how can we trust you if you bring legislation to Parliament that is hugely at odds with the Constitution?
I'm with you, Ms. Van Dam. Can I respond now?
Not yet. She wanted to. If you can dot down those questions. There is just something that I think is going to be very important for the committee, Advocate Malunga. If you could just give us the chronological sequencing, I'm trying to do a map on your life as presented here, and some of the facts that have subsequently come to our attention. I see that in 1998, you completed your Bachelor in Law at the University of Swaziland, right? Then in 2000, you did your LLB at the University of Natal, South Africa, and if you could kindly assist us with that, because as you know, there were two campuses then. Are you a graduate from the Durban campus? Because I'm a graduate of the University of Natal. So I just want to get that clarity from you. Is it from Durban or Pietermaritzburg?
Pietermaritzburg.
Okay. All right. Thank you. But then this is now 2000. Mm-hmm. Then you were in, I'm assuming that you were already in South Africa in 2000.
Yes.
You were actually a full-time student then?
In Natal, yes.
Am I correct?
Yes, that's the year of completion.
Oh, okay. All right. Then, that's your year of completion. And when did you actually go to the University of Natal?
1999 and 2000, yes.
So you finished in 1998 in Swaziland?
Yes, 1999, 2000, it's a two-year LLB.
Oh, so in 1999, you came to KwaZulu-Natal, where you did your, in Maritzburg, where you did your LLB.
Yes.
Thank you. Then in 2001, you then went to the university of the Georgetown University Law Center. And I assume that is in the U.S.?
Washington, D.C.
Okay. And in 2002, you were still in the U.S.?
Correct.
Okay. And
on study leave from the University of Natal.
Okay. All right. No. Now, I am trying to reconcile that chronological sequencing We have an information here that is coming from the state security, where they are advising us that you were born in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And you entered the Republic of South Africa in February 2005.
No, that's incorrect.
And that is what we have here. And you were naturalized in November 2010.
Yes.
Now, if you could kindly clarify that aspect. And again, I also wanted to know, do you have dual citizenship? Because the last time I knew, Uncle Bob did not allow that, or you've denounced your Zimbabwean citizenship. This has serious implication, I advocate, and it's going to be very important that you answer this question as honestly as possible.
Yes, no, correct.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes, no, I denounced the Zim citizenship, and of course, I will have to follow up if that was approved.
Did you denounce it, sir?
In 2010.
You denounced it in 2010?
Yes, yes, I did.
And when did you get the South African citizenship?
2010.
You got the South African citizenship in 2010?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
All
so
right.
I have family
I can
on both sides.
I give you the opportunity to respond to the first round of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted that chronology for the record.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, advocate. Before I give you the opportunity to respond, can I take Honorable Mayisela? I'm so sorry. That head of Honorable Motapo does injustice to you, Honorable Mayisela. Okay, Honorable Maisel. Okay, no, that is fine. No, these questions were more as a matter of record because I wanted to clarify the chronological sequencing of events because I was getting confused as I was trying to put together all your facts that you
That's
put
fine,
forward.
Madam.
Okay, thank you. Over to you, advocate.
All right, thank you. Honorable Motapo, you'll have noticed that the declaration says yes. There's no denial, right? There's no denial. And actually, that was the best thing that ever happened to me as a person. Now, I remember Honorable Floyd Shibambo was SRC president during those period. And he ran in with a lot of the administration at the time on the lack of transformation and all those challenges. And I was a bit of a lone ranger at the time to say, look, and we had lots of run-ins at the time to a point where most of it was about the Hlophe issue. And eventually, I lost interest, and I set up my own consultancy, which Honorable Bongo has alluded to, Mube Consultancy, which is not active currently, by the way. And eventually, it was, unfortunately, a parting of ways, which I think was not the tidiest and the cleanest. But in hindsight, it's the best thing that ever happened to me in the sense that I was able to move on to other things and do the best for the people of this country, do the best for public service. Now, there was a time when we were actually being told how to think, you know. This is not the law we teach. And people used to say, black man, you're on your own. I don't want to racialize this. But people used to say, black men, you're on your own. And I came through a lot at the time. And, you know, sometimes some things come as a blessing in disguise. You know, Oprah Winfrey was told she will never make it on TV.
Responding to which question?
I'm responding to Honorable Motapo.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just highlighting why. So I didn't want to give you a composition. I just gave you a background. And what I'm highlighting is the fact that I think, in hindsight, maybe I should have made
a longer disclosure. But I didn't want to go into. All I said was, okay, let me declare yes. And of course, that answers Honorable Breitenbach's issue. At the time, and of course, what the Business Day journalist, Fiona Ford, doesn't say. By the way, Fiona Ford is the journalist who told the country that Kgalema Motlanthe has a child with a 24-year-old in 2009. And of course, I'd love to see that child.
Keep to but the point is, of the, let's keep to the relevance of the questions you asked.
Yes, the point I'm making is, there has been that was a very vicious attack on me as a person. And when that journalist called me, she said she doesn't have any mandate to say anything good about me. But anyway, let me proceed to Honorable Tseke.
Advocate, members, when they are beginning to ask, you must listen. I'm yes. So scared of these members. Yeah. Honorable Bong and Honorable Breitenbach, I hear some noise coming there. What's that?
No, Chair. Oh, can I start?
It's not disturbing. Let me speak. Yeah.
Okay. No. I wanted to make sure because they wanted my attention. I give you the attention, Honorable Floyd. And when you asked for my attention, and I could see they wanted my attention, and that is why I had to interrupt Advocate Malunga.
It's late, and we've been here a long time, and do not curtail the answers. But if Mr. Malunga could restrict himself to answering the questions, it would be very helpful.
Okay.
The members are requesting you to stick to the relevant answers.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair. My apologies, Honorable Members. I had to give you the background, because sometimes people see the face of something and they say, oh, okay, this is what I'm reading. And Honorable Breitenbach, I, with the SJD, I decided to link it to the current work that I'm doing in terms of the administrative justice work that I'm doing, and my supervisor agreed. So I'm hoping that this year, hopefully, finally, this can be my year of completion. And of course, with regard to the issue of the court's issue, when I was interviewed for Deputy Public Protector, the late Dean Smuts and the Honorable Schaefer pulled out that article to say, but are you going to be objective? And at the time, of course, I must say I even conceded back then that, look, I think perhaps I was a bit too presumptuous, because now it's part of the system where people go to court and of course, it's a democratic right to do so. And even before she passed away, she said to me, you know, I think you were right. You really stuck to your promise. And it's something that we actually discussed back then. If you look at the record of that interview for Deputy Public Protector, that was raised. Yes, and I think Honorable Swart can confirm that. And Honorable Tseke, the South African Roadies Association is a long-standing complaint in the institution of the Public Protector, which basically involves the Roadies Association and the application for funding. It's been a long protracted issue. I managed to unlock 1 million of funding per year in writing. And under successive DGs, DG Kaba, Minister Paul Mashatile, but the Roadies were still not happy. They were still not happy, and of course I had to bring in Honorable Tom, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture, to determine. Because what I was saying, and the first complaint was actually sent to Mr. Romano. He can confirm. He is a secretary of the Portfolio Committee on Arts on Justice, where they were complaining to say, we are not happy with the money we're getting. And we said, we can't budget for you as the as Public Protector. So eventually, the Portfolio Committee got involved, and it's a work in progress. Mr. Magnatella is quite a very colorful complainant, and sometimes doesn't understand that state funds cannot just be dispersed just like that. And Honorable Seke, I also agree with you regarding the issue of closure of regional offices. I'm very, very much concerned about reaching out to the ordinary masses. That's something that I have been doing. In fact, that is what I do when I lead administrative justice. And it's very important that we manage that space quite importantly. And if I am to succeed in this role, we will actually go out in terms of outreach. Outreach is one way of saving money. You go out there, and then you bring the issues back to the office. And of course, and back to Ms. Van Damme's question, the traditional courts bill. I must say, ma'am, that was one of the most difficult projects I've ever had, partly because you had to reconcile two competing interests. There was civil society on the other side, baying for our blood, saying, but you can't push this. And eventually it failed. I do concede. It did fail. But what we were trying to do, at least at the time, was try and salvage it. We're trying to at least... And even right now, there's that gap, that lacuna, in terms of managing the issue of how do you manage the relationships of and of course, Honorable Bongo's question regarding the travel issue. You know, amaXhosa athi ukuhamba kukubona, to travel is to see. Now, I just want to highlight the fact that I've got family both in South Africa and Zimbabwe, and I travel both places very frequently. So if the South African Secret Security Agency doesn't understand that, I feel sorry for them, because that is the policy of Africanism, the African Union. We are a free country. You know, people can... If, for example, someone was traveling to Germany, would they raise the same issue? Would they ask the same question if I was traveling to Ireland every other week? So those are some of the challenges that we need as Africans to love ourselves. We need to get into that space where we take this institution forward and take it as a proud African value that says, what do we want to see going ahead in this institution? So I travel overseas to study, to open my eyes. And it was a great experience. And I will continue traveling, because that's basically something that enhances me as a person. It edifies me. I learn through various cultures and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm very proud of that.
Honorable members, is that a follow-up question?
I'm not answering.
Honorable Shivambu, you are going to wait. Let me just take these members, Honorable Van Damme and Honorable Bongo. They seem to have follow-up questions.
My question is actually a clarity-seeking question.
It looks like everyone who has a follow-up question
It's not a follow-up, it's to you.
Yes.
Mine is a clarity-seeking question from yourself, Chair, and maybe the legal advisor. Now, the state security says Mr. Malunga did not meet the requirements. He only applies for top secrets. He only qualifies for confidential, and what he needs is top secret. Which legislation requires the public protector to have this clearance? On what basis is this done? I just want to know which legislation says this.
Honorable Van Damme, part of the reason why we are probing Advocate Malunga, it is because the Constitution specifically mentions the issue of citizenship, that you have to be a South African, hang on a sec, a South African citizen. In as far as these specific issues that the security agency is referring to, at this stage, I do not have clarity on those answers. And part of the reason why I actually wanted to get Mr. Malunga on record on these matters, it's because after this, we will also have to get clarity as the committee, because some of the statements that are made here are very, they are very difficult to really ascertain, you know, what exactly do they mean. We never, and you must remember that Advocate Malunga was shortlisted on the strength of him being the current public protector. This information only came up long after we took that decision. So that is, that's where we are standing right now. Okay. Are you happy with that?
I was not asking about a citizenship.
No, no, no. You are asking about this whole thing about the top secret. It's related to that. And that is why I am saying to you, these are the issues that we have to engage going forward, having received the information from Advocate Malunga during the interview. Is that clear, member? Kind of. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Advocate Bongo?
Thank you, Chair. I think the reason why we had allowed Advocate Malunga to come, we need to test this information with him. We test this information against what he says. Later on in the deliberations, we'll take a position and a posture on what is the committee's view. But my questions are not answered, Chair. I've asked specific question that.
Okay, I was getting
proceed.
To you.
Let me repeat for your convenience.
Mm-hmm.
One question was that the non-disclosure of material facts. One, it relates to a driving under the influence, which was in 2012, and the questionnaire requires you to disclose under subsection 3.1. That disclosure is not there. A disclosure in terms of what Honorable Mutapo has raised.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want a narrative of what has happened, but we want to know because we're just testing the fit and properness of the candidate of your candidates in terms of the disclosure, because this position needs an honest person, a person with integrity, and a person whom the public can rely on.
Okay.
Honorable Bongo, you have made your point.
Okay. Can I respond to Honorable Bongo quickly, ma'am?
You have a point, Honorable Bettenbach.
It's really the same point as Honorable Bongo. I asked a question about why the reason for him leaving WITS wasn't disclosed, and that was also not been answered. So
okay.
And can I also remind members that sometimes candidates do not respond to the questions that we are asking them the way we expect them to respond. And of course, it does work to your disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you will have to try and make sure that you listen carefully to the questions and answer the questions accordingly.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Honorable Bongo, first and foremost, sometime in 2012, I was stopped at a roadblock in Joburg. By a police officer who then sort of winked at me and said, you know, the cold drink, mentioned cold drink and so forth. And I had an altercation with him. And I said, you know what, I don't pay cold drink. I don't do cold drink. And even up to this very day, I don't do cold drink. Hence, that the what you mentioned, that it was dropped because there was nothing. And that's what it is. It's not the first time it has happened to me. Even earlier this year, actually, I had an incident of that nature. So I didn't feel the need to highlight something that doesn't exist in law because it's of no consequence. And of course, we get that all the time as motorists going on the road. I don't have a criminal record. Simple as that. The issue of Honorable Breitenberg, I've highlighted Breitenberg, the kind of environment that, yes, and of course,
I must admit, it was an oversight not to provide detail, and that I'll concede, but at the end of the day, what I want honorable members to understand is the fact that we are coming from a very, very conflicted history in terms of these institutions. And it's something that has improved quite drastically, I must say. And I personally, the other thing that I will concede, Honorable Bredenbach, is that I was partly at fault there, but in terms of my responses at the time, because it got so aggravated and very nasty. But if we don't listen to some of these things that are happening in higher institutions of higher education, come 10 years from now, we will have those problems over and over again. So I was just one of the people who fell into that system at the time, which was quite toxic and difficult. But I hope I've answered most of the questions. Thanks.
Anyway, I would like to proceed, members, because even myself, the more I'm trying to listen to you, the more I get somehow lost. It's either you are speaking above my head or you are speaking far below my head. Honorable Shivambu, Honorable Swart, and Honorable Mwabe, and finally, Honorable Kuranov. In that order, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good evening, Advocate Malunga. Sure, thanks. I'm not much concerned, Chair, about the going ins at Wits University, because most of these liberal white institutions have got an institutional culture that is resistance to black progress. Whether it's students or academics, there's a culture of paging black people who seem to be making progress. So even if there's no case from, or there's a case from Wits University, I would believe any black person who says that it was a racist activity, because that is what they do in UCT, in Tekis, in Stellenbosch. All these universities that are historically white are mostly racist. They've got an institutional culture that is resistant to transformation. But I think that we are egg-walking around the advocate here. And I think we cautioned earlier when we started, Chair, please allow me to indulge you a bit, that it's the day of the interviews, and then you circulate the letter from the state security agency that says that he is not suitable to occupy the office of the public protector. He is not afforded an opportunity first to deal with that substantially. And you establish here that some of the issues that are mentioned in this letter from the state security are not necessarily factual. And it's not our responsibility to dispute a security clearance process. It's a different platform that deals with that. That is why I initially proposed that perhaps we should not interview him, because there's a state security letter which is extremely prejudicial. Like, it disadvantages him altogether from even being considered for this responsibility, because we have circulated the letter without giving him a fair hearing. Because this is something that could have been challenged in court, to say that some of the things that you have said here is extremely prejudicial. It disadvantages him altogether from fairly participating in this particular process. Either the state security agency is irresponsible, or those who circulated the letter are extremely irresponsible. It's one of the things that we have to admit, that it's wrong. If there was a set criteria on how would we interview here, we should have said that let us do the security clearance for all the people, and then we tell them that you are not shortlisted, we are shortlisted, but there's a security issue around you. Can you please clarify it before we interview you, so that we do not get into clashes on issues of suitability to occupy office, because it says confidential and it says no, some of the issues that require him to occupy the office of the public protector are top secret. Basically saying that we do not know what are the other reasons that are being given that Kevin Malunga cannot be a public protector. So even if we ask questions to him of how is he going to deal with issues of continuity, he's prejudiced. He's extremely prejudiced in terms of him occupying the office of the public protector. Nevertheless, I wanted to, the only issue which I'm worried about, I asked the advocate Mamiki Goodman about the public differences with the sitting public protector when you are a deputy public protector. Because we must never ever undermine organizational harmony, particularly of a Chapter 9 institution that must be held in high regard. Once a public protector and a deputy protector are disagreeing in public, it will weaken the faith that people have in such an institution. I know in the past he had differences with the public protector when he was a deputy public protector. What was the context of your differences and why did you choose to go in public to disagree with a sitting public protector? Where was the wisdom in that? When you know that it opens up space for so many wrong elements that had characterized the office itself as reactionary, as CIA agents, as agents of counter-transformation, counter-revolution, and all sorts of things. And in the middle of that, you say, no, we're disagreeing with the public protector. Where was the wisdom in that? Like, I think that is one of the things, that is my concern about him. Otherwise, we can talk about the other issues of how do you expand access to the public protector, but he's extremely prejudiced. I do not know how we're going to help him. Maybe he must resort to a different process of clearing his name, and then we then have an engagement on how we deal with these issues. We must not egg walk around him and pretend like all is well. Mahlobo is saying there's a problem. What do we do?
Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I similarly have these concerns as expressed by Mr. Shivamba, because if you go back to Advocate Malunga's interviews for the Deputy Public Protector's position, none of these issues were raised then. And surely the screening is as relevant then as it is today, because a Deputy Public Protector would have had to have the same screening. And so it seems very strange to me that suddenly on the 4th of August we get this letter that says he doesn't qualify, and he's the front runner for the Public Protector's position, and that is why we recommended him to be shortlisted. So it is a major concern if at the stage when this parliament appointed Advocate Malunga as the Deputy Public Protector, he had to have a certain screening. Why wasn't it dealt with then, 4 years ago? He's already acted as the Public Protector 30 times. Now at this very last moment, there's a concern about his security clearance. And it just doesn't seem right to me. On the second page of this letter, it indicates that there's the appointed candidate should complete a Z-something form in order to conduct the necessary vetting. So maybe, Advocate Malunga, you can help us. Have you done any security clearances? Just, you know, and again, you need to consider your position, but my concern is when we, as the Justice Committee, interviewed you way back then, help me, but I seem to recall this issue was never ever raised. Why then did the State Security Agency not raise the issue then with all the candidates? Because what would have happened if the public protector had have resigned and you had to be appointed as the public protector as an interim measure, as you've done 30 times? Surely then you'd have access to information that would require this clearance. So, Chair, we are in a bit of a dilemma. I hope I've given you an indication of our dilemma that we are faced with. And to be fair and just to Advocate Malunga, how can we expect him to respond to this at this last minute? But maybe that is something for you just to think about, particularly our last, and I think I'm the only member here that was there then, and I do not recall any of these issues being raised 4 years ago. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Swart, I think definitely we will have to take issue the same way as we've afforded all the members, all the candidates, where they were allegations and there were issues that of concern that were coming up, we brought them to the attention of of the candidates. And I think there is going to be a process because we also need answers from the State Security Agency because this has wide implications. I agree with you 100% that we have to establish what are the real issues here. And that is why I was trying to establish the facts from his side so that when we engage with them, at least we can ask them, then why didn't you raise these issues before? Because this came later on. Probably even shortlisting him, we shortlisted him, and I don't think we were wrong when we did so. We applied our minds on the basis of the information we had then. Thank you. Honorable Mngwabe.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to Advocate Malunga Mhlekazi. Chair, let me first comment on the issue of the security clearance. I want to caution members that we do not discuss this matter so much to an extent that it might prejudice Advocate Malunga's right to take this matter further. Because since it has been disclosed to him, he's got all rights to take the matter further. And on our side, you can continue with our job. And maybe towards the end of the process, we call upon the State Security Representative to come and clear some certain confusions to us. But now that it has been disclosed to him, he's got all rights to take whatever route, if he thinks that he might be prejudiced. But let me come back to my question, Chair. Mhlekazi, I'm looking at your CV, and you have done a lot in such a period of time. And I'm confused in other areas where you spend 1 year, the next year you are like, you are this, you are overseas, you are in Ethiopia, you are in Accra. But I'm concerned with your legal practice experience. Yes, you are admitted as an advocate, but it's not indicated whether did you serve a people age where, under which advocate, are you a member of which bar? Obviously, it's not clear whether you practice as an attorney or serve articles of clerkship. That's my only worry, because as I see your CV and listening to you speaking, I mean, honestly, I can sense why my colleagues are somehow confused. You speak like a pure academic, and your questions are pure academic. And one has been trying to follow your analysis or interpretation of the law. Well, I get left behind. Maybe if you can clarify to me your legal practice. You are a product of which man? Because lawyers will tell you I'm a product of this. I can also tell you I'm a product of comforting it and teaching my donzel. Maybe one can be, Chair will be interested to get that part. I've got the academic one, and I think it's powerful, but the practical interpretation of the law and looking at the nature of the office that you are contesting. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Kuranov.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to get back to this letter, there's one sentence here that says, this post requires a security clearance to the level top secret. But that's not in the Act. Yeah. Now, I want to know, and maybe I'll pose that question to the legal advisors when we meet again, they must tell us where does this come from. So we need to know that. At least we need some clearance. My question to the advocate is, you say that you get about 26,000 complaints a year. I want to know how many are outstanding and what's the reasons.
Honorable Van Damme, you wanted to go back to the issue that's got to do with this letter.
Honorable Conroff is asking the exact same question I asked earlier.
No, but that question has been asked.
It hasn't been answered, actually. Can the legal advisor then tell us then which legislation...
No, I said it to you. I said it to you. This is going to require a follow-up with the legal advisor. We need to get all those issues together. His matter will have to come before the committee at our next meeting. Because nobody is going to have those answers tonight. Because I also did not have the answers prior to us coming here. Because it came very late. And I didn't know what to do with the information. Okay, thank you. Members, Honorable Maisela?
I'm not going to talk about letters and other things. I've just got a general. All right, so, Advocate, you said that service delivery here manifests themselves in various ways, and so it's either there is defective service delivery or no service delivery at all. And these challenges that recurs in government should be that the national, provincial, and local government, you know, it's a challenge that recurs in government, that is national, provincial, and local government. The state has a huge budget to deliver services to the people, but this continue to be a host. This continue to be a host of challenges, which ultimately show through instability, such as service delivery protest and destruction of property. Why didn't you investigate the service delivery flashpoints before they ban? It would have been very useful, for example, to investigate the act of omission on the part of NASFAS that resulted in countrywide student protest. It would have been interesting again to know that remedial action could have resulted in favor of the poor students from such investigations, given the fact that education is one of the current priorities of the country. Instead of public protector's office being turned into a tool of crime busting, it would have been a useful tool of service delivery investigation. If you are appointed, what would you prioritize? Crime busting or service delivery investigation? We must learn to prioritize priorities. Thank you.
Okay, Advocate Malunga, I think we will just give you the opportunity to respond, but I still do want to register my concern around the chronological sequencing of most of the information that you've presented to us. Some of it, to me, it's not necessarily academic. It is simply doesn't tally that well. And maybe it's something that you may have to look at some stage. But there's also another thing that I think maybe in your answers you will have to respond. I do tend to avoid politically correct statements for whatever that it is worth. The issue here, and I think we have to be fair, because all candidates that we seem to have had an issue with their employer or whatever, we needed to get exactly what actually happened. That university, whether it's a liberal university or whatever, we can give it whatever name, they terminated you during the probationary period. And when you are terminated during the probationary period, it's very important for you to disclose what, because most instances, I've been CEOs of companies, I've been CEOs of organizations. When we terminate somebody during the period, during that probationary period, it's either we cannot verify their qualifications, or there is something that is of material importance in the records they provided to the institution. It is usually have nothing to do with performance, because at that time you are still adjusting. And I would like you to find a way of responding to that so that we are consistent. We've done this with other members, other candidates. It's not just for you, so it's not a prejudicial thing, but it's very important for us to establish those facts from you, since you did not mention them, or as you said, you ought to have probably gone further in explaining them in your disclosure.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Okay, just to clarify, Chair, it had nothing to do with the integrity issues. Nothing to do with qualifications. It had everything to do with the dispute over, firstly, the nature of publications and the amount of publications, and then also obviously we had an issue with the Hlophe issue. So it had nothing to do with that. And then, of course, I didn't challenge it because I was already running my own consultancy. I had already found something else. And so I think maybe in hindsight, I probably should have been more active in challenging. But I didn't see the need because I already moved on. I had already made up my mind that I'm not doing this. And I actually then succeeded running my own entity at the time. So that's basically it. It's a publications dispute. And then with regard to Honorable Shivambu and SWAT, I really also didn't know anything about this. But what I can confirm is that, I'm a bona fide South African citizen in terms of the laws and the of this republic. And to the best of my knowledge, there's nothing, no impediment for me serving in any responsibility. And it's in the spirit of that and so forth that I am doing what I do. And then, Honorable Mngwabe, you are correct. I am an academic. And of course, I've had some consultative matters here and there, but I'm an academic, and of course I've worked in government more. Set up the office of the Chief Justice. I worked under Chief Justice Ngobo, who assigned Chief Justice Chaskelson and Langa to supervise me in setting up the Office of the Chief Justice. That document was partly written by myself, assisting a committee which was headed by a number of luminaries at the time. So, and of course, my strength is more in because remember, in this case, you also have to write reports. You have to have a keen eye for writing reports and so forth and so on. So obviously, my apologies if I sounded a bit academic at times, but you have to actually write reports. And of course, my 4 years doing this work has closed many of those gaps, because you have to sit down, you have to be a skilled negotiator as a public protector. Many people think that the public protector needs to be constantly fighting departments. That's not the case. You sit around the table and you resolve issues. And then, sir, with regard to the issue of the outstanding cases, I had my slide open, and of course I don't have the password for that currently. I have the stats on the PowerPoint. But I do know that it's a sizable amount in terms of it goes to the thousands. And we are constantly trying to resolve that backlog in terms of how do we manage aging cases older than a year. That's the threshold that we have. And of course, one of the biggest challenges really is ensuring that the vulnerable person who we call Gogo Dlamini
is not prejudiced, or Gogo Erasmus, as it were, is not prejudiced by undue delay with their SASSA grants, undue delay with their IDs. Home Affairs, I must say, has done well, and so forth. And of course, a big backlog relates to refugee issues, immigration issues, and so forth. And then, of course, there is Honorable Maisela. I agree with you that service delivery is something that we should be taking more seriously, and we do. The larger number of the complaints are actually relating to service delivery. But the media, members of the media sitting there, they love the juicy stories. So the juicy stories are actually more under the conduct failure investigations. They relate to Nkandla's, the SAPCs, and so forth. Those are the so-called conduct failure ones. But the larger number of investigations, honorable members, are service delivery issues. It's a huge branch nationally, and we're trying to make a change there. And any public protector, whether it's me or someone else, must get a sense of that. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Advocate. I just want to make sure you had, earlier on, before we started, you gave me your ID. And did you get it back? Because I didn't want you to give me a document that you want me to identify. I don't identify documents. I just want to make sure that you got it back. What was the intention? To make the copy for the members? I don't know. I don't know what was your intention. Hence, I actually ordered this.
Yes, I think it's please make a copy
because
for the
just
members.
Just from the Nasdaq Advocate, I just want members to understand that I don't do things on the side. I want, if your intention was to table this document, I didn't like the fact that you were tabling it to me quietly on my own here. I wanted you, if the intention was to say how you would like to make it available to members, and make it available to members. That's all I wanted to say to you, sir. Okay.
But, Chair, I think also the way you're addressing Advocate Malunga is extremely problematic. I suspect you're the one who deliberately submitted this letter to prejudice him. We're extremely problematic. What is wrong with someone saying that if people are doubting my citizenship, here is my ID? What is wrong
Honorable
with that?
You said we must not interview Advocate Malunga. That was your position. And I objected to that. And I said we cannot prejudice Advocate Malunga because Advocate Malunga, we shortlisted him and we brought him here. And the reason why I want to make sure that he got his ID back, it's because he gave me the ID here before we could even start, and I didn't know what to do with it. I want to make sure before he leaves that he has his document, because I cannot be left with his ID document.
Chairperson, you must be cool-headed. Don't shout. Be cool-headed, and then you must illustrate to you, you made the blunder of circulating this letter. This letter was given to you.
It wasn't given to me, Honorable Shivambu.
But we are a chairperson
of the
committee.
It was given to Bonani. And Bonani forwarded the letter to me.
But
it
as a chairperson of the committee, there can't be a document that is circulated here without your knowledge. It's basic logic. I mean,
we had for
you
your
can't
own
allow a document to be circulated
for your
without
own
knowledge.
Information. Oh, it was Honorable Breitenbach at our last meeting who made it clear that documents that are meant for the committee must come to the committee. I do not have the right to say this document must go and this document must not go. I don't have that right.
Then
and that's
then
what
you don't know how to be a chairperson.
On,
you don't know
what
the chairperson
what
of a committee
agreed
is.
On. If you think I'm not good as the chairperson, that you are you are well within your rights to have that
opinion.
I
will have to write to the speaker to say you must be removed because you take reckless decisions.
Shivambu, Honorable Shivambu, I exercised my discretion and I gave you the information because I felt it was important for you to get every document that came through me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Advocate?
Because many people are interested to find out, is it confidential or what is the status of this document?
The thing is, in my view, maybe Bonani, you can actually, first of all, let me say this. This letter here is not addressed to the chairperson of the committee. It's addressed to the acting manager, Protection Services, Parliament of South Africa. And it says, dear Mr. P. Lebeko, I do not know the status of this particular document. Before this document was circulated, I asked Bonani, my secretariat, to say, what is this? Because I do not understand it. And he then said, this is the information that we received. All the information that we received, in fact, it's not only on him. It's also on other people here. It doesn't only have, it's not just written about you. It is written about all the different candidates that had applied. And this was the part of the vetting process. So it was not just about you. Yes, Bonani?
Chairperson, order. We're not going to be addressed by secretaries of parliament. This is a committee of members of parliament. I don't know where that come from. You take responsibility for everything else that happens here. I'm hearing it for the first time where secretaries must address us about letters which are supposed to distribute here. You take responsibility for each and every document that enters the meeting. Since when do we get addressed by secretaries of parliament?
Let me explain, Honorable Shivambu. This committee agreed that there will have to be the screening of qualifications, of everything, and we then requested the parliament to run with that process. And that process was run through parliament. This information came through those channels. And we requested it as a committee. It wasn't the information for the chair. And Honorable Bongo, I'm not sure if you wanted to go forward with this, but I want us to close this on this note because I do not want it to be accused of anything. I have no sinister motives. Every single information that came before me, I made sure that all the members have it. And this is not just about Advocate Malunga, it's about other members, if you read this letter carefully. It's the same as the information we got from Corruption Watch, which members have been quoting. I made sure that it goes to all the members. I thank you. Is there anything, Advocate Malunga, before I can release you?
No. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I think
that
there were some members who had their hand up, but anyway, that's fine, ma'am. Thanks.
No, that is fine. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. We will inform you as soon as we have processed all the information. Thank you, sir. You are excused. Oh, you agreed that you're only getting it now because I was worried because I gave it to somebody else to give it to you, but I'm happy now. Thank you, Advocate Malunga. Thank you, bye-bye. No, I don't think we should go on to that issue because I've explained it over and over again. It's the committee decision that decided. Honorable